Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
See, prayer is God's way of divine intervention for your life. You know, if I describe prayer, I'd be saying this, that it's requesting our desires or our needs that are promised by God that's in accordance with His will. You know, I don't know if there's not a single person that ever prayed. I think even those that don't believe in God pray. I remember before I knew God, there's things I got in trouble. I mean, in high school, I remember praying at the table because I was in trouble. And nobody heard my prayer except I know God heard my prayer because God answered that prayer. And I didn't even know Him. Didn't know if He existed. There's something just about us that when we have a need, that we can go before God, that we can go boldly before His throne and receive mercy and goodness from God. You know, I said this Wednesday night, I remember when I first got saved, it just seemed like, you know, I was so illiterate about church and the Bible. I thought Job was Job and thought the maps were part of the Bible. Didn't know anything. And I remember beginning to pray. Actually, it was my prayer. I didn't know I was praying at the time. It was my prayer that caused me to have a God encounter. Because I just simply asked God, if you do exist, change my life. And a miracle happened. God changed my life that night. So God heard that prayer. Even if I didn't know Him then, He heard my voice. And I remember it just seemed like, you know, every time I prayed, that God just answered just immediately. And in fact, next week we'll talk about what happens when God doesn't always answer immediately. There's seasons, I think, that God's doing some things in our life to bring that answer. I believe that God has a timing. But I remember the first prayer that I prayed, that I remember God answering, it was, I was needing help sorting cattle. I was, all my workers had left, and I here by myself had to sort cattle every week, and as an impossible job looked like, and I said, God, I need help sorting cattle. Aren't you glad that you don't have to have this Shakespearean response to God, these and thous and all this kind of stuff. You just kind of talk in your language, whether you're a cowboy, a mechanic, or a plumber, or whoever you are. You can just, God, you don't have to change your way you speak to somebody, to God. He knows your voice. He knows your accent. He knows your voice. And so I remember going to my pastor at the time. I was going to the denominational church out in the middle of the country. Little small Baptist church. I remember telling this to my pastor's wife. I said, you know, I read John 15:7. And I said, isn't the word of God so amazing that God desires to answer our prayers? And God always answers our prayers. I remember she told me, it really deflated me at the time. She said, yeah. I said, you know, God answers prayers three ways. Yes, no, and maybe. And so that really troubled me because I thought, you know, I don't like the word maybe. And, you know, sometimes I think that that's where we pray. We pray, well, maybe God's going to answer our prayers. And so I thought that's not really correct. But I heard God's voice this morning say that, you know, maybe is correct. Because it's not maybe on God's part. God always desires, 100% of the time that you're praying according to God's will, God desires to answer that prayer. So God's not, He's not in the maybe mix. But I heard God say this, we're the ones that's maybe. We're the ones maybe. Because it comes to how we feel like God's going to respond to us. We pray, well, maybe God will answer our prayers. And I know sometimes God answers prayers by saying no, because sometimes we pray it's not according to His will. And then there's sometimes, you know, that God's not going to answer our prayer because He knows how we respond. But I believe that this, I can say this for I believe to be truth. I believe that, you know, 2 Peter 1 says this, that God has given us all things that pertain to life. What pertains to life? To be in good health. To have all your physical, material needs met. I'm not talking about being, you don't have to be extremely wealthy, but God's not opposed to you being extremely wealthy if you know how to handle your money. But God wants you to have every physical need that you have, your house payment, your car payment, whatever you have, God wants every need met. That's life. God wants to live in a good home. It's got peace. You know, God has given us all things, that's past tense, not when you get to heaven, but all things that pertain to our lives right now. And it says that it's through this venue right here, through his exceedingly great and precious promises. See, your Bible contains promises for you, promises for me, promises for your kids, for the next generation. Every generation, God's promises are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't change. God doesn't change. So prayer is the way that we do this. You know, many times in the Bible you see prayer. Well, Hannah, you know, she had a barren womb, and she desired a child. And so the Bible says she prayed, and God opened her womb and gave her a child. We've seen that happen in our lives. Luann had a barren womb, couldn't have children. Doctor said it was impossible, but God, we prayed and God opened her womb. And we've seen multiple, now I don't have the anointing, but she does. We've seen multiple women that's had barren wombs, and I know some of you are here today. And God has opened their wombs, and now they have children. And some of these children are even late teenagers right now. And God is still opening wombs because people pray. There's a woman called the Shunammite woman. She had a child that she desired, and she prayed for it, and God gave her a child, and that child died. And maybe you've had a dream that died. But it said Elisha prayed, and that child was raised from the dead. See, prayer will even intervene in death. We know this because it said that Jesus prayed, and Lazarus came forth. Jonah got in some trouble. God told him to go one place, he goes another place. And we know that trouble began to happen. He got swallowed up by a big fish. But it says in the belly of the whale or the big fish, Jonah prayed. And God caused that fish to spit him out. See, maybe you've been in trouble. God will get you out of your trouble if you pray. King Hezekiah, he got deadly sick. He had like a terminal illness. And your Bible says that Hezekiah prayed and God added years to his life in health. All through the Bible, people prayed and God delivered them. Peter was in jail. I mean, he had less than 24 hours to live. He had a death sentence. They just waited until the sun come up to kill him. But the church prayed and God delivered him. See, prayer, what prayer does, it brings God's will. What's God's will? That's God's desire. We relate what desires are. I have desires, but you know that God has a desire for you. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans or the desires that I have for you, plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. God has good desires for you. There's nothing good outside the perfect will of God. God's will for you is good. Why? Because God is good. And God loves you. God cares about you. He cares about your life. And so, you know, what prayer does, prayer brings God's will. You know, Jesus said, pray this way, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he's trying to teach us that God has his perfect will for us in heaven, but he wants his will to be done in your life, my life, right here on this very earth on a daily basis. And it's to bring that. All of God's promises, say all of God's promises, are attainable by us. Let's get personal. All of God's promises are attainable by me. God doesn't put a carrot out there hoping you'll bite it or catch it. God makes these promises available for you and I. James said this, that you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You know, maybe you're in that group right there that you don't have the good things that God has for you because you haven't asked. My dad, he was a tough nut. You know, we had to pray and believe that he got get saved before he went on to be. And on his deathbed, he calls. I mean, he had this really wall built against God. And I remember times we'd be at our house there, and when he got later years, we got very bitter. We'd pray over our food at the table, and he'd be like this, just hard look on his face. Wouldn't bow his head. When he got terminally sick, you know, we asked him, can we pray for you? He said, you don't ask God anything. You don't ask God for anything. And I think a lot of people have this mentality, you know, well, you know, if God meant for me to be healthy, God would make me healthy. You know, if God wanted me prosperous, God would make me prosperous. If God really wanted me free, God would set me free. No, we have not because we, what, ask not. You know, Jesus said this in Mark 11. He says, I'm going to read it to you. I think it's out of the English Standard Version. But he says, I tell you all the things you pray and ask for. Say, all the things I pray and ask for. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. See, you know, it takes an action on your part. You got to ask. We got to ask God. God, I need this. God, I desire this. God, help me in this. It takes an asking on our part. But when you do that, when you put forth the action, see, believing is action. It brings a reaction on God's part. When you begin to act in faith and pray in faith, God responds with an answer. Now going to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We usually stick to verse 20. This is my very, I always say this is my favorite verse, but this is my very, very favorite verse in the Bible. I mean, many times when I sign one of my books, that's what I put in there. I have all the scriptures. I'll put Ephesians 3:20 because it's my prayer for you. So pay attention when we get down to verse 20, okay? Verse 14. For this reason or this purpose, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you or give to you according to the riches of his glory. Isn't that good that God gives us everything out of his wealth? That you might be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is length and width and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, you may be filled with the fullness of God. You know, that's Paul's prayer for you and I, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. And that's God's prayer for you too, that you might not be empty on the inside, that today you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, verse 20. See, he's saying all these things. Paul is praying, actually. He's praying for the church, praying for churches generations and generations later, that we might be given his riches, that we might be strengthened, that God's love might dwell in our hearts, that we might know the love of God. See, prayer reveals the love of God. Now, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, let's say, get personal, I can ask. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask. See how important asking is? Or think according to the power that works in us. See, it takes the power to override those things that are against God's will. See, what's against God's will? Well, premature death, sickness in your body, sickness in your mind or intellect, sickness in your family. All things are, we know things that's not the will of God. So it takes the power of God to override these things that's not the will of God in your life. Well, here's what the power of God does. It restores things that look beyond restorable. The widow's son didn't look restorable, but God restored it. When David lost all that he had and prayed, God restored it. When Job prayed, God restored all he lost, double fold, twice. See, it takes the power of God operating in our lives. Remember, it says, according to the power that works in us, not in your pastor, not in the church, not in the building, not in your theology, but in us. The power of God changes things that look unchangeable. Your situation may look unchangeable. There's a power of God that can override that and change that situation. The power of God is to release things that look unreleasable. See, it looked virtually impossible about Peter being in jail. I mean, he was chained to the wall, his feet and his hands. He had two guards on each side. He was in a cell that was within a cell that had an outer gate that he had to get through that was all locked. It looked impossible to release him, but, you know, the power of God. Say the power of God. See, the power of God is in our prayers. We pray in faith. The power of God heals those things that look impossible. Naaman looked impossible. Or the leper looked impossible. The blind man looks impossible sometimes. You know, we've seen miracle after miracle after miracle happen in this church. Things that look impossible. But the power of God breaks that impossibility. You know, the world knows the power of believing. If you study out any success story you want to study out, what's in business world or the sports world, there are people that got to be where they were because they believed in themselves. They believed they could do it. They believed they could be a super athlete, even though everything about them said they couldn't be an athlete. There's men that have risen to be CEOs of companies that have accumulated a lot of wealth. They're not believers, but they believe they could do something. They believe they could do something. But I want to tell you what, as believers, we have a greater power working in us than just self-belief. It's our faith in God. Jesus said this, all things are possible. Say what? All things. Well, what's impossible? Nothing. All things are possible, what? To he who believes. Can you imagine how much your faith, when you begin to pray in faith, the power in your believing, the power that you can believe God for? The prayer of faith releases the power of God. I just read to you in Ephesians chapter 3, 20, says that God is able to exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think or dream or imagine or envision. But here's what it's connected to, according to the power that works in us. Well, let me tell you this morning, if you're a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, that's all you need. Because you may be limited in how you think, how you ask, how you envision, or what you imagine. But I want to tell you what, the Spirit of the living God inside you has no limits. The Spirit of God can believe for anything. I don't care how impossible it is. That's why it's so important, Paul said, that our minds must be renewed. See, we're told, Paul tells us two things to do. One in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. He says, I pray with the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, but also with understanding. See, if you're here today, you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's not being baptized by water. That's being baptized and renewed by the Holy Spirit. Well, let me ask you this. Was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were they believers? Yes. Were they going to heaven? Yes. Were they disciples? Yes. But in Acts chapter 1 and 2, they were filled with the Spirit. Paul was filled with the Spirit. Jesus' mother was filled with the Spirit. It's another level of your believing. See, it's the empowering of the Holy Spirit inside you. So if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to preach on that today, but you need to come down to one of these pastors and elders today and ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Because there's things that you don't know. You don't know how to pray. Romans chapter 8 says there's times that we don't know how to pray. You know, we can pray with understanding how to get breakthrough sometimes. See, understanding doesn't come through knowledge, but knowledge helps. But understanding comes through revelation. When you get revelation of the Word of God, it helps you pray with faith. You can read the Bible and never get revelation and only have knowledge of it. But when you get revelation, that scripture becomes light to you. See, we got light about barren wombs, God healed her. We got a lot about our finances. God broke us out of death into a business that's been flourishing for 40 years now. See, revelation. So we're to pray with understanding and with the Spirit, because there's times we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. He knows how to petition God for the right answer for you by making an intercession for us. That's what Romans chapter 8 says. Then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, talks about putting on the full armor of God, and then after putting on the full armor, he says, and we're to pray with all kinds of prayer. We're to pray with all kinds of prayer. Jude says we're to pray, we pray in the Spirit to build ourselves up. So you need to be not only praying just the word and will of God, but you need to be also praying in the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that's making intercession for you by breaking down walls that have been put up against your prayer life. Our belief in Him is what limits our prayer. Well, I know I don't have to ask you if you believe in God, or you wouldn't be here today. You're here today because you believe in God, right? Well, it takes more than just believing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, that faith, but without faith, is impossible to please God. Without faith. Isn't it amazing that it takes faith to please God? If you don't have faith in what you're asking God for, we might say it this way, it's displeasing God. See, God just wants you to trust Him when you pray. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, for God is a rewarder, but he who comes to God must believe that He is. That He is what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What's diligently seek Him? That's prayerfully being in His presence, seeking God, going before God, petition before God. See, believing simply says this. If you want to be a believer, here's what believing is. Is believing says we trust God more than we trust what we know. See, I think that's why people have trouble tithing. It's not that they want to be disobedient because God says, you know, you're under a curse because you don't tithe. But I think the reason people don't tithe and give offerings is, you know, we just don't trust God, because we know. we know how much income we have coming in. We know how much outgoing we have. We know all these things, but, you know, God says, trust is really believing more than what you just know. See, believing says that we trust God more than we know in what we see. Sometimes we our faith is built on what we see. But Paul says we walk by faith, not by what sight. We walk by faith, but not what we see. See, we can see things. We can see reports. We can see financial statements. We can see the charts of the economy. We can see all these things there. And he says, but trusting God is based on more than what we can see. It's based on more than what we can feel. Well, you know, there's times that I don't feel good. You know, I haven't been sick in years. We haven't had the flu in 30 years. Hadn't had the flu. Flu's common. But, you know, there's times I've come to church here. I got up Sunday morning, and I had all the symptoms of flu. I ached. I had fever. I had all these kind of things. And I said, my body doesn't dictate what I do. I am the healed, and I'm the redeemed. I'm making a stand for my healing. You know, not nearly, but every time I came to church feeling like that, I got healed before I got here. Why? Because I wasn't paying attention to how I feel. Sometimes I hurt. Sometimes my body aches. But that's not what I'm not trusting what I'm feeling. I'm trusting what the Word of God says. Amen? We don't trust God by what we hear. Sometimes we hear things that's not good reports. We get a bad report. I've had bad reports. But my faith is not based on what I hear. My faith is based on my relationship with God. My faith is built upon the Word of God. Now go into 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Who? In God. See, confidence is our belief that we can count on someone or something. So Paul's saying, or John's saying this, now this is confidence that we have in him, God. If we ask anything, say anything. Amen. Ask what? Anything. Well, anything covers everything, amen? But watch this. He said, we ask anything according to his will. So you know, that means we can say, we can pray for things that are not according to his will. You know, I'm married, so it'd be double dog stupid for me to ask for a 1970 model. Amen? That's stupid. God's not going to hear that prayer. That's his will. But, on the other hand, if I have symptoms of sickness, can I ask God, is it God's will to heal me? Yes. In other words, he wouldn't have sent Jesus Christ to bear our stripes, who's brought healing to us. So we can ask things that are not his will, and we can ask for things that are his will, but God says he only hears those things that are according to his will. So that's why it's so important that you and I know your Bible, know what's in your Bible. You need to know the nature and heart of God, and you know what God's desire is for you. And that way you don't have trouble about praying about things that are not his will. Now, I know there's things that are very marginal. You know, God, should I take this job or that job? Well, I tell you what, I think God's interested in every little thing in our life. That's why, you know, Paul says we pray about everything. Amen? And so when we pray about everything, if we listen to the will of God, and we want to please God, so we pray in faith so we can expect God to respond back to us and tell us what his will is. You know, sometimes we have a plan, but it's not God's plan. I don't think God has plans A, B, and C. Multiple choice, take your pick. I think God's got one plan for your life. I think he has every little detail, every little chapter, every little page, every little line upon precept in your life about what God has for you. And so prayer is our way of communicating with God to find out what God's plan is. You know, if God has this really super plan that he talks about in Jeremiah 29:11, how am I going to know his plan unless I can communicate with him through what, prayer? Because in prayer, I know the heart of God, and God begins to reveal to me his plans for me. And we begin to see his plans. So we can have anything in him if we ask according to his will. Because when we ask according to his will, we know without a shadow of doubt, we say, well, God, did you hear my prayer? A lot of people, I don't know if God heard my prayer or not. Well, did you pray the will of God? Well, I think so. We need to know so. Because God's not on the maybe side, you're on the maybe side. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, say whatever. What's whatever? Whatever. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or requests that we have, ask of him. See, that's confidence. Confidence is that belief that God will do what he says he'll do. Why? Because God is faithful. God does not lie. God does not change. God's promises are still in effect today. God doesn't have a 2017 renewal model. You know, the reasons why some of us don't have confidence in God, and what's confidence? Another word is trust. We trust in a lot of other things. We trust in our ability. We trust in doctors. We trust in all this. It's okay to trust doctors. But our trust ought to be in God, because God's the healer. All they do is treat your symptoms. Did you know medically that your body is able to heal itself? And sometimes the reason it doesn't heal itself, why you have to take antibiotics, is because it's got to build up the fight until your body can begin to resist that sickness or disease. The reason is we don't have confidence in God because we haven't embraced the word of God as truth. Think about that. Is this truth to you? See, what we believe, believing is powerful. I think faith is one of the most simple things there is in the Bible. We always try to make faith very difficult. It's just believing. It's just expectation. We use it all the time. Even before you got saved, you operate in faith. We call it, we expected it. Sometimes we expected things we didn't desire instead of things we do desire. So it's our belief system determines our confidence in the Word of God. What we expect to be truth becomes our belief system. See, here's some things. You know, here's a belief system for you. We have this belief system. Will God answer our prayer? Is that the way you go for God? I wonder if he's going to answer my prayer. I'm praying according to his will, but I wonder if God's going to answer my prayer. See, that's a belief system because you got maybe in the mix now. You wonder, well, maybe not. It's just like throwing dice on the table. It's going to come up 7 or 11 or snake eyes. Maybe. I wonder if I'm going to hit it right. I wonder if I'm going to hit the chart. I wonder if the wheel's going to stop at the right place. I wonder. See, you don't. When you pray, you ought not wonder if God's going to hear your prayer if you pray according to his will. You don't have to wonder if God's going to answer your prayer if it's according to the will of God. So another thing, you know, is we question God. Well, you know, God, do you really want me healed? You know, some people get this mentality, well, you know, this is glorifying God. I don't ever see where sickness glorified God. I never see Jesus walking up to the deaf man and said, oh, well, just keep on being deaf, buddy, because you're glorifying God in your deafness. Oh, I'm sorry, woman, you've had this issue of blood, but, you know, it's really glorifying God. People just see God all over you because you're bleeding to death. You spend all your money. That's glorifying God. No. See, our belief system comes out, well, I wonder. See, take wonder out of your mentality. Because when you pray, you can't wonder if God will. God always says, I will, if you, what, ask. Sometimes we don't, you know, we think about this. We look at our situation. Sometimes we focus so much on ourselves and where we are right now and think, well, I wonder if God really wants me to live a very blessed and prosperous life. See, that wondering is not faith. That's doubt. Faith is to say, no, God, I know that I'm not blessed right now. I know I'm not prosperous. I know I'm still in debt. I know my job is not meeting all my needs. I know it doesn't look good, but that's not where my faith exists. My faith exists in you because I'm doing what you ask. I'm being obedient to what you ask me to do, and I'm believing you, God. I believe you have better things for me because your word says that you came that we might have not only this life here, but we can have life to the exceeding, extravagant, extraordinary, overcoming type life. I know if it's in your word, it's meant for me. So I can ask with this confidence, God, I know you want me blessed because your word keeps saying I am to be blessed. I'm to be the head, not the tail. I'm to be above and not beneath. Your word says everything I set my hand to will be successful and blessed. God, you'll cause my cattle to increase. You'll cause my ranch to be blessed. You'll cause my job to be blessed, my business to be blessed. Because that's your desire for me. That's your will for me. Your will is not for me to live a downtrodden, extra underachiever type life. See, how you believe determines how effectively you pray. Think about that. How you believe. See, if I'm praying, well, you know, God, I don't know if it's your will about me being healed today. I don't know if it's your will if my marriage be restored. I don't know about this, that, or the other. I don't know about those things, God. Well, see, that affects my effectiveness in praying. See, I've got to come bolded to God with the word here and say, God, your word says, your promise says right here. And when I begin to do that, I become a more effective prayer.
Lord, I pray the Cowboys will win
today. I rebuke that. Not because I'm not praying for the Cowboys, but that's not the will of God always. Truth comes through revelation of knowledge. Truth. See, we're talking about we don't have confidence in God because we haven't embraced the word of God as truth. You got to embrace every word because it's alive. It's God's voice speaking to you. It's truth. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truth. See, the Holy Spirit desires to reveal to you the heart of God, the will of God, the nature of God. And so in John chapter 16 says, he will guide you in all truth. See, what happens is when the Holy Spirit guides us into a certain truth, it empowers us, to believe it, and believe it empowers us to receive it. It empowers the word to become effective in your life. See, the first time I read about healing in the Bible, well, you know, I didn't really believe it. Why? Because I think, well, that's 2,000 years ago. We have all this new technology now. We don't need God to do this. That's not true. That's not true. God heals today. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all our destructions. The Bible's full of God's will of your healing. I don't want to stay on that so much, but anyways, second thing is, the word don't have to be not only embraced in your life, but the word has to be embedded in your life. John 15:7, go with me right there right quick. Well, this is not my favorite, but it's in the top five. Jesus speaking, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What will be done for you? What sort of things you desire? What's the conditions? Abiding in him, his words abiding in you. What's the word abiding mean? It means to stay in place, stay in position, to retain. See that? If we're going to ask what we desire, we have to stay in relationship with him. If I'm out of relationship with him, I don't have the right to ask God. It's when I'm staying in relationship with him, when I'm being obedient to his word. He said, if you abide in me, but then he says, if my words, what's the words? Not just the words of Jesus, but the word of God. If my words stay in place in you. See, it's doubt that pulls his word out of us. It's his whether if God will, that pulls the word out of us. So in praying, if we have this deal, you know, well, I don't know if God will or whether God wants to, you know, that pulls that word out. Jesus said, if that word abides in you, you will ask what you desire. You will ask anything that's in my will. See, abiding in him keeps you in his will and keeps you knowing his will. So it's to guide us in there. So abiding a word embeds the word in us, and the embedded word speaks faith to your situation. See, when Luann got the word about a barren womb, what was it, Proverbs what? Psalm 113:9. She'd read that probably many, many times. But then one day the Holy Spirit guided her into this truth. And when he guided her to that truth, she began to meditate on that truth, and that truth woke her up in the middle of the night and made that promise to her that she'd have a child. And it became life to her. So when it did, it spoke faith into her situation. We had three miscarriages. She had three miscarriages. But that word was so embedded that not what we saw, felt, or heard from the doctors, it couldn't loosen that word that was embedded. That's why it's so important that whatever you're going through today, that you find a word of God, word in the Word of God, and get that thing so embedded in you, you may have to put it on your refrigerator, your visor, your pickup, or wherever it is, but begin to meditate on that word, get that word deep inside you. That's why I'm so strong on financial breakthrough, is because years ago I allowed that word to get embedded in me. And that word will always speak faith back to you. It'll always speak. When fears come, when doubt comes, if that word's embedded inside you, it's like it's such an integral part of you that it's part of your nature, your mind, and your well-being. You don't care what you hear because this faith is coming out inside of you. What? Remember Ephesians 3:3? You can ask all. God will do exceedingly abundantly by all you can ask or think, because the power is inside you, and this power, this Holy Spirit inside you, say, God's promised it. God's going to fulfill it. It's that word inside you. So important to get it embedded inside you. See, the embedded word is like having a lifetime warranty on your life that covers anything or everything the devil can throw at you. God's got you covered. It's in there so deep. But, you know, a lot of people, they never read the warranty on their car. And realize, man, this thing broke down. I could have got it fixed for nothing. Well, same thing in the Word of God. I mean, life breaks down, but if that Word's embedded inside you, you got a lifetime warranty that you can call upon God and say, your Word says. Your Word says. Confidence is gained by acquainting yourself with somebody. You know, sometimes we lose confidence in people because they'll make a promise to us. Well, we'll pay you back. You know, we'll do that job. We'll fix this, or we'll help serve in church. We have all these things, and we lose confidence in people. Why? Because their word's no good. So, you know, if we want to have confidence, we want to have to learn to have confidence in God. You know, God's blessed me with so many good horses. I mean, just gifts. I had a guy one time, I bought a horse off this guy a few years ago. And I asked him, I know she had a big knee. I said, is he sound? Oh, yeah, he's sound. Well, first time I rode him, he was sound. Second time, he couldn't already walk. And I did everything I could for him, but, you know, so I called the guy, and, you know, the guy's a believer. And I said, you know, this horse is crippled. And I didn't say, I want you to refund my money. I gave like $5,000 for him. And, you know, he never said anything, so I didn't want to break a relationship by him by having unforgiveness against him because I didn't have any confidence in his words. And so I gave the horse away. And I was needing a horse. And so I called a rancher I do a lot of business with, and I bought horses off him. They sell high-dollar horses. And it's hard to even buy a horse off of them because they use so many of them. They raise really good horses. And so I said, you ever run across one of your horses I might like? Well, holler at me. Well, he didn't. A few months later, I called him back. Well, he found me a horse, and I'm still looking. And a few months later, he calls him back. He said, you know, I think I have a horse for you. And so I go over and pick him up, try him. And I got to thinking about, you know, man, this one thing, I don't need a horse as much as I used to 10 years ago. My age and everything, I don't really need a horse. I can get by and borrow a horse off Brooke and Cody. They got way too many. And don't have to feed him, worry about him. But anyways, the guy calls me up. We were up at the ranch at the time and had the horse up there and been riding him. And he said, well, how you like your horse? I said, I like him. He said, you want him? I said, well, I guess it matters what you want for him. I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to spend $7,000, $10,000 this horse because he's worth at least that, but I'm not going to spend that kind of money on a horse no more. And so I said, yeah, but I don't really know if I need him or not. He said, oh, I think you need him. I said, well, I guess it's according to how much you want for him. He said, you like the horse? I said, yeah. He said, you want the horse? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to give him to you. Now, I wonder if I got an unforgiveness about this kind of going different. If I got mad and unforgiveness and told bad things about this guy, see, I didn't name his name. If I could just badmouth him, I wonder if God blessed me with that horse. He calls me from time to time. Now, I'll tell you what I like about this horse. See, we're talking about having confidence in somebody. You know, I don't ride near as much used to, but I've had horses that I really liked. I'll turn them out for 3 months and get on them. Man, it's going to be we're going to have a rodeo. We've had some rodeos. We've had some buck-offs. And this horse, his name, I'm talking about who he is, how he's bred. I mean, he's got the greatest pedigree there is, but temperament-wise, he's got the worst there is. Everything about him, from his daddy's side, he ought to be an idiot, he ought to be a bronc. Couldn't trust him. But I tell you what I love about this horse, not how good he rides, but I have this confidence in him. I can go catch him on a cold, snowy morning and lope off on him, and he'll not do one thing. Have him turn out for 6 months and get on me just like the day I left him. He's that type of horse. I got confidence in him. See, it takes time to build confidence, but confidence can be gained. You know, Psalm 138, 2, you don't have to turn there, but I love this scripture here. You know, we think about the name of God. I hadn't done it in several years. I want to do a series on the names of God because God has so many names. But names are just reveal his character. See, he's called Jehovah Rapha because he's the God that heals. That's his nature to heal. He's called Jehovah Jireh because he's the provider. He's the God that can provide. No matter what it is, financial or whatever it is, God can provide. He has so many names, that just reveals who he is. See, we're known by our names. We either got a good name or a bad name. That's our reputation, and that's where we build our confidence. Now, I'm not going to buy a horse off some guy named Slick Willie or Crooked Jack. Why? Because he's got a bad reputation. But here's what God says about, you know, his name. Your Bible says in Philippians that there's no name higher than the name of Jesus. There's no name higher. Every name will bow to the name of Jesus. But here's what he says in Psalm 138, verse 2. He says, I have exalted my word above my name. Here's who I am. I am Almighty God. There's no other God besides me. But he says, above who I am, I put something much higher than that. It's my word. Can you imagine somebody says, well, there's Pastor Robert. He's a pastor on staff here, but his word is higher than he is. Here's his title. God's word to you is higher than who he is. That tells you the nature of God. Constance game of knowing somebody. God is faithful. I don't know how many times this is what we have to stand on right here, me and Louie. God is faithful. Now, how do we know God's faithful? Because we've tried him, we've tested him, he's proved himself in the past. I've got confidence in him. If God healed me one time, he'll heal me the second time, the third time, the fourth time. If I've tithed and I ain't got anything coming in, if I just keep on tithing, God is faithful to bring back that seed. That's his word. Last one, and we can go home. Confidence is asking, and asking is measured in confidence in your relationship. See, if I was working for somebody and I'm a lousy employee, you know, you're supposed to clock in at 8 o'clock and I clock in at 8:30 and supposed to clock out at 5 o'clock, I clock out at 4:30. And all day long, I'm sitting around texting on my phone, Facebooking, all this kind of stuff, and supposed to be working. And I worked for this company for maybe a year, and I go to the employers, boss, I've been here a year. I'd like to talk to you about a raise. Well, he might give me a raise, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't really, if I was being honest with myself, I wouldn't really feel worthy about asking for a raise. Same thing about my relationship with my wife. If I was unfaithful to my wife, could I expect affection back for her? Well, she'd probably give me grace or kill me one, I don't know. But, you know, I'd have a little hard time. Why? Because I have this guilt about me. And see, we're not to come, in order to be confident toward God, we got to be confident in our relationship with him. See, I got to be faithful to him. I got to be obedient. I got to be a good, faithful servant. So I got to do these things because I want to feel right coming before God. I'll give you one scripture and we'll close. 1 John 3, verse 21 through 22. This is the Holman translation. It says, if our conscience doesn't condemn us. What's our conscience? We know what it is. See, sometimes, you know, you don't have to tell me I'm guilty. I feel guilty. Where do I feel it from? I don't know. It's somewhere inside me. I don't know where it is, but I like to dig it out of there sometimes. But I just feel I'm guilty. It says, if your confidence doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. So if I don't feel guilty in how I'm living my life, I don't feel guilty when I come to God. Verse 22 says, and can receive whatever we ask of him because we keep his commandments and do what is pleasing in his sight. So if I'm going to pray with confidence, I got to make sure that I'm right with God. I got to sure that we don't have any hidden sins. You know, Proverbs said that he who hides his sin shall not prosper. Everything's got to be uncovered. How do you get your sins covered? By asking God to forgive you and let the blood cleanse you. Because it says it makes you white as snow. If you're white as snow, you can go before God with boldness. Because you obtain mercy. Let me ask you this right here. I'm going to give you some things that to help you be in your prayer life. First thing is, ask God what you desire. Does that mean anything? Well, it's according to the will of God. What do you desire today? Do you desire a better job, paid for a house, better marriage, a healed body? Just ask God what you desire. What's the things you desire when you pray, believe? So we start by asking. And then, you know, I don't do this, but, you know, I'm not perfect. My wife's perfect. Her prayer life, she'll be teaching this instead of me. She's got the most phenomenal prayer life of anybody I ever saw. I'm going to tell you what, if you're here today, I guarantee you, if she's known you or seen you, she's praying for you. I mean, not just God bless them. I mean, she gets down and prays the nitty-gritty for you. She's interceding for your marriage, your finances, your health, whatever it is. She's praying for you. She's got a step by step by step. She's got a prayer journal. So I want to encourage you, you know, to help you build your confidence is ask what you desire. And then write it down. God, today, September the 17th, I'm asking you for a better job. Well, that may not be the will of God. God may put you where you are, so you're to bring light and salt. But God wants to bless you. So let's just ask God to say you're a tither. God, bless me with a job that meets all my financial needs and more. I need a scripture, don't you? Come on, Louie, give me something here. I got to check some things, you know. And so write it down. Well, September the 17th, 2017, I'm asking for a promotion to my job. And I'm gonna do an action on my part. I'm going to be a good employee. In fact, I'm going to be the best employee I can be. I'm going to keep tithing, I got seed coming up. So I'm writing it down. 2017, I'm writing this down. So write it down. And then begin to envision what you ask. What's that? See yourself having enough to pay all your bills. See yourself out of debt. See yourself having enough extra that you can do some things that you want to do. Get that vision. Don't say, well, I'm praying about it. Well, I just see me next year, you know, well, no raise, no increase, no better job, no more income. Oh, see where I can cut some more stuff out of my budget here. See, that's the wrong type of vision. Envision what you want. Envision what you desire. Just like Krista. I mean, she could think, well, I'm just going to see myself serving tables for the rest of my life. No, she started a career now, working at Potter County Tax Office. And I believe if she keep getting a bigger vision, it'll just keep going higher and higher. Get you a vision. Think about it. Write it down. Habakkuk says, write the vision down. Make it plain. I desire my own business. I desire to be healed. I don't feel healed. Don't look healed. Doctor said I'm not healed. But I see myself walking good without hurting. I see myself with no cancer. I see myself with no heart trouble. I see myself healed. I see myself living a healthy life. I see myself never getting the flu anymore. We'll take flu shots in October. How many's taking flu shots here in this church and hadn't had the flu? Just raise your hands up. Look here. Look here. That's a testimony right there. Because realistically, they ought to have had the flu. Why? Because it goes around. That's all I say. It goes around my house, goes around my body. It ain't stopping here. Why? Because the blood's here. The word's here. The word's here. Amen. Aren't you glad he says the word is nigh you? It's close by. It's embedded. Envision what you ask. And then this will build your faith. Begin to write down when that prayer got answered. Maybe this week. Maybe next month. Maybe next year. Write it down. Let me just, you know, Thessalonians says this, and I'll probably talk about this next week, but it says, Paul says, rejoice in all things, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. It's amazing where they put prayer right in the middle. See, sometimes I think you got to rejoice before you get it. Rejoice before you pray. See, so many times we pray to God this pity party. Think, oh man, if we can just cry enough and get so wimpy enough about, well, maybe God will hear about, oh God, you know me, I'm just a poor old sinner. And I've got this rheumatism, and it just hurts me every morning. God, would you please have mercy on me? Pathetic. God's probably going, I healed him 2,000 years ago. Why don't he get it? Rejoice. I ain't going to let the devil see I'm down. He sees I'm down, he's going to keep trying to get me down. I'm going to rejoice my way out here. I'm going to shout. I'm going to holler. Paul says, I think myself happy. I ain't happy, but I'm going to think myself happy. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to be happy about it. I'm going to rejoice about it. Because in all things, God makes all things work together for my good. I may be in a storm right now, but I'm rejoicing because I'm coming out. Otherwise, I mean, oh God, I ain't ever going to get rid of this rheumatism. I'm rejoiced. It's coming out. Then I'm going to pray without ceasing. We'll talk about it next week. And then I'm going to give thanks for everything. See, begin to write those things down that you've asked God for and God's answered your prayer. And look back and say, I don't know how many times we've used this in our life. You know, we've hit financial pitfalls in our business. And we've always looked back and think, well, I remember God when you, we just kept on giving, and we got breakthrough. You were faithful, God. You made that deal come through. It looked like it was going to go down the tubes. God, you protect us, God. Amen? Amen. Well, let's put something into effect today. You know, your Bible says that, how do you get saved? Simple. Call upon the name of the Lord. How do you call upon him? Through prayer. See, you know that I say there's some prayers that God doesn't answer. You know what those are? Those ones that we're not involved in. Let me tell you. I know this is the will of God. That every human being, I don't care if you're ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Buddhist, who you are, it's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will. I don't care if you're homosexual or lesbian or who you are. It's God's will that you be saved. Every single solitary soul, be saved. Have a relationship with God. Have a God encounter. But we know this, not everybody gets saved. Just like everybody doesn't get healed. But it's always God's will to save everybody, to heal everybody. Every time. That's God's will. No shadow of doubt. That's embedded in me. But I know factual that everybody don't get saved. Why? You know, it's good. You need to be praying for people to get saved. Your kids, grandkids, neighbors, whoever, relatives, need to be praying for them to get saved. Well, one thing it does, your prayer begins to operate in their life. But the Holy Spirit won't make a choice for them. They make their own choice. They make their own choices. Sometimes we pray for people, and we don't get our prayers answered because we didn't see it manifested. Well, I'm not going to say the fat lady hadn't sung. That's improper. She didn't say it anyways. I know it. I got the look. See if I can rewind this, man. It ain't over till it's over. You just keep praying. Might get breakthrough in that person's life. You never know. Just like my dad. I mean, he resisted salvation until, 2 days before he died? And he hated me being a preacher. He loved it when I was riding bulls and drinking and all that other kind of stuff. But when I got saved, he didn't like me. He loved me, but he didn't like me. And I remember waking me up one night, phone call said, your dad, he's in hospice at his house. Your dad said, call my preacher boy and tell him to come pray for me. First time in his life he ever asked me to pray for him. And we went over there. And on his bed, leaning on one side and on the other side, we led him to the Lord. And he prayed the sinner's prayer. And I believe he's in heaven right now. I mean, he took it to the wire, buddy, but he's there. And sometimes you don't know if you're going to get him there, but that doesn't mean quit praying, but sometimes you're not going to change somebody's will. Sometimes you're not going to change somebody's will. And you can resist healing the same way. You resist anything God has. It's choice. Choice is the only thing that will keep God's will from in your life. Amen.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.